Mary Ann Seidler of the Telos Alliance is a familiar face and a familiar voice to us here at the Broadcasters Clinic. To share with us her expertise in the area of helping stations transition to virtual infrastructure and coming to us live from an undisclosed secure location, Mary Ann Seidler. We hear you.
Oops. Good. Okay.
Good morning.
Right. Okay. So thank you. And I believe we have some screens we're going to show. I'm stalling here for a second because I've clicked something incorrectly on my computer. Okay. So what we're going to talk about is just where we were a year ago with virtualization and where we are now. What we're going to do is talk about what the last year has been like. Can everyone see this, I hope?
Yes, we can see it.
Okay, thanks. So what have we learned over the past year and what has really changed? Over the past 18 months, we've seen everything from audio processors, which made some sense, being virtualized to consoles, to phone systems and to intercom systems. And this just gives you so much more flexibility, but there have been some lessons learned along the way. So the type of projects that we've been seeing that are really using this are either somebody who wants to use it for backup, someone wants to use it for either a virtual facility, either moving things off-prem or having a secondary location, or getting rid of the expensive rent and downsizing for what they need, or mirrored facilities. This is, let's say you have an entire facility built in Brooklyn and you want one built in Newark, New Jersey. So it would look exactly the same and you could bounce back between the two. Obviously, you can do this with hardware as well, but it's so much quicker and it makes so much more sense with virtualization. So what are the advantages of this? Well, number one, it's scalable. So what we were finding is a lot of clients who start, they're using the last year to kind of start out with small baby steps. And they're seeing, hey, if we can do this pilot project, then actually, in theory, we could do our entire network. So we're seeing smaller projects that are also a little bit more than proof of concept, but trial balloons, let's say. Also nice is customizable. You know, if you think about the whole idea of hardware, when we first started making Omnias, it had to be made with certain specifications. And it was very difficult for a customer who wanted something a little different to be able to ask us to change everything. Occasionally we could do that and it would make sense for other people, but this just makes it allows you to go to a software manufacturer and say, can you do this in a certain way? Chances are it's going to be much more doable. And it is super easy to update. You know, how many pieces of hardware do you have that you turn on? It's like, oh gosh, okay, I've got to update this again. Why do they keep coming out with updates? This just makes it easy to update across your system, depending on what you have for security. The challenges are that it needs to be backwards compatible. So you may have existing hardware that maybe is not AES-67, but it's compatible. So you have to work out how everything will fit together going forward. You know, it's always, every step is much easier than the first ones. Security. So are you going to have someone off-prem manage this, or are you having your IT department do everything for it? And resource management. What we're finding now with some of our bigger projects is that, hey, this allows stations to maybe have engineers manage more resources, because across a larger network. I know, great, more work for everybody. But the important thing is that the work is still there. It just may be combined with IT, and trying to find those IT / engineering skills is, as you guys know, very difficult. So what's the deal with cloud computing and why is this so great? Well, one of the things is it allows the physical build out to be in somebody else's hands. And that means a higher level of security. And it also means secure storage. You know, to go out and get an absolute top expert in internet security, that's, there are not that many of them out there. There are a lot, but and it makes sense in some ways to do something where you're relying on a company that does nothing but cloud computing. However, it can also be much more expensive than what you were planning on. It still means that there's going to be physical equipment someplace, and then you have to worry about servers as well. So what type of server do you get? You know, what are the specifications for everything? So what a lot of stations are finding is, hey, this actually, going virtual does save us money over physical location. And that's if you, I will date myself shamelessly. When we were growing up, you know, you could see the radio station in town and everyone was driving by. Well, that's not necessarily needed anymore. So stations can go to a lot smaller premises where they could manage multiple shows. So this physically will save you money. You also have a centralized tech staff that can manage things maybe from one or two locations. Again, you know, our world of broadcasting has changed. And instead of having to drive to a transmitter site, you may not have to. You may be able to log into anything that's wrong in the studio, or most things that are wrong in the studio and transmitter site, without physically driving there. It's easier to manage than purpose-built hardware. So, you know, the broadcast manufacturing industry is, it's a niche market. So Telos has always built things that are to the highest specs as far as every single part of it, but, and so with other manufacturers. But the problem is that we will never have the amount of scale that a regular computer manufacturer would have. So we may pick a power supply and then next year it's no longer in stock. Bigger companies that are just creating servers, first of all, it's just inherently more reliable. They certainly have a lot more experience than anyone. And they can get better prices and do a lot more crazy testing than any one broadcast equipment manufacturer could do. So what are stations learning are some of the challenges that we're running into? Well, the biggest challenges that we've run into so far with clients is when they are making part of a hybrid solution. It's part hardware and part software. And Kirk was alluding to that. So it's, if you could go all virtualization, great. But the problem is you, in many cases, you can't totally. And that's where you have to mix and match. And it may be something that's older equipment that you're just going to have some workarounds before everything could go virtual. So what about the hardware? This is actually one thing we found that's not as difficult as other parts of this. So we recommend you use server-grade hardware and talk to the manufacturer before selecting it. We've had a couple of cases where people just go out and buy things. We're like, that's not exactly what we recommended. So you're just going to save yourself some trouble if you double check on things like that. That actually, the server part of it and picking the specs for that are one of the easier things, probably easier than we thought they would be. So our business model as an industry is changing. You know, it used to be manufacturers would build one piece of purpose-built hardware and they'd figure in the cost of that. But now, and it would go over a certain period of time, the accountants could amortize it. Life was simple. With software, you're constantly figuring out, hey, new features that we could add to this, and people want them added. But it, no manufacturer can go on with a small piece of software and then never have charge for updates. We all know this from every single piece of software it seems like we own is either a subscription or you have to pay something annually. So that's something to be aware of. The very good thing about this is software features can constantly be added. And it means that 5 years from now, instead of you're sitting there saying, oh my gosh, I'm going to need a new blank, hopefully your blank, fill in the blank of audio processor or whatever it is, hey, this is as good as it was when I first got the software. So what are some of the changes in radio as far as virtualization, or how is virtualization taking advantage of that? Streaming. So streaming obviously has been around for a while. We've seen stations go from trying things out, saying, yeah, I think this will work. Let's put a couple of programs on it. Now they're starting to earn revenue off of it. But it's just in a way, it's very similar to Hulu or Netflix or anything along those lines, because we're going to have more on-demand content. So suddenly, instead of somebody having 3 or 4 programs, now stations realize, hey, we can have 300 programs. We could have a Christmas program of nothing but Alvin and the Chipmunks, if you wanted to. So you've got all this sliver casting going on. That would not have been possible if we didn't have virtualization. That just makes it so much easier and so much more affordable for stations, because they're not having to go out and buy server racks and server racks, but they can offer a bunch of different programming to their audiences. So the on-demand world is really, it's here to stay. And in a way, this virtualization makes it the easiest path to make the transition. So not only do you have, let's say, audio processors, but you have file-based processors. You've got everything that can make your on-demand and streaming and FM sound exactly the same. But now you don't have to sit there and individually tweak each one of them. You could from one location. And it also makes it easy, let's say that Alvin and the Chipmunk Christmas stream that you're offering, you could have that processed in a completely different way than anything else. So again, it's, I think, the magic of what we're seeing now with on-demand for video, we're starting to see a lot more of for audio as well. So some of the advantages we didn't really think about 20 years ago or 20 months ago, it feels like 20 years ago, doesn't it? Is the ability to move studios very quickly. So this, when we were thinking about virtualization, and when, most importantly, clients were thinking about it, they weren't thinking necessarily, wow, I've got to be able to move this studio someplace else right away. We've had enough crazy things happen in the last 20 months from either natural disasters or fires, anything like that, or just COVID-related, that, yeah, all of a sudden people are thinking, hey, I've got to move this. And I think you'll see more of that in the future. You can take your studio wherever you want. And redundancy. We had a client tell us what they wanted was to have 4 different ways of redundancy. Part of it would be servers falling over to other servers in their facility. But the other thing was, everything in that city falling over to another city. So even if Eastport, Maine would lose power, everything could switch over to Lubeck and keep broadcasting. And that wasn't something that we necessarily, I thought would be one of the number one things people were looking for, but As I said, last 20 months have been insane. So that gives us some things to learn, to calculate out. Now, what we've learned are a couple of surprises. We thought calculating out the capacity in the servers and all of that and helping people get these configured, the server part of it is fairly straightforward. So that's actually been a little less of a challenge than we thought it would be. But there's always a but to this. What we've also learned, though, is moving data across the internet is much more of a challenge for a couple of different reasons. It's like everything old is new again. Remember before the days of ISDN, when trying to move audio from one place to another was really wildly expensive and we had these phone lines? Just different iterations of it coming back. If you've got a higher bandwidth that you're sending across your internet or across your entire network, that is going to be more expensive than a lot of people anticipated. I think the whole idea of having services store all your cloud-based information and shift it across the internet, it sounds as though it wouldn't be much, but it's not cost prohibitive, but they're not giving it away. I hope that's diplomatic enough. So what else we've learned is workflow. You know, if you've got hardware, you figure out, okay, this is going to be what the workflow is. You're just designing a studio. You do the same thing with virtualization, but a little bit different kick on it. It's, well, what needs to be on-prem, what needs to be cloud-based, and what security concerns you're going to have for all of it. Could you have it in different locations? So, and are there latency issues involved? So there's some things that may need to be on premises and some that don't. So, but the biggest thing of all of this is, first of all, the sound still matters. You know, we as radio people, this is what we've got going for us. We can make all sorts of cool things, but people still tune in because they hear a sound that they recognize and it's their friend. So, and we've got to keep that in mind no matter what. I think this will make it easier in some ways. And we hope everyone loves what they hear as well. So Mr. Kirk and I, hopefully he didn't leave the room, are happy to answer any questions for you or send you some more papers on what anyone else is doing. We can't discuss a lot of our projects because we're under NDAs. And NDAs for a lot of things.
Hi, Marianne, this is Bill. I just wanted to ask you about an instance where something did not work well in the cloud virtualization in your experience. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, there have been a couple. And it didn't have to do with any of the software from Omnia. It had to do with the existing network at the radio station. And there was some sort of a PTP clocking error. Nothing to do when it was actually existing before they brought the equipment in, and then all of a sudden they realized it was there and they had to reconfigure some things, which meant having to talk to the IT department. I think that's where the most pain was. So that was part of it. We've certainly had to educate people, as we all did, that FM processing over the internet or sending things from one location to another, there's going to be a small delay. There just is. We're getting people used to that, but there's still either workarounds or things we can do with that. Those are the biggest challenges we've got.
Very good. And now a question from our audience.
Hey, Marianne, Shane Tovin here.
Oh, Shane, hi.
one thing that seems to come up a lot in terms of virtualization and kind of cloud implementation is a lot of people think that it must involve the internet, but that is patently untrue. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Oh, thank you. Yes. So kind of, you know, we've thrown these buzzwords out there like, we're going to do this cloud-based. But in fact, most broadcasters or most larger broadcasters, we've had talks with them where they start out saying that, and then they say, well, wait a minute. Actually, we have something, an infrastructure built in. We don't need to go out on the internet. It has nothing to do with that. This is a way to be able to manage everything from a couple of different locations, and you're much better off if you have your own network set up. But yeah, we seem to get people that's how they start out. They think that everything is going to be on the internet, which would be a mistake for many reasons.
Any last words of wit and wisdom you care to share with us, Marianne?
You know what? If you've got any questions or you just want to maybe even play around with it, my bosses will kill me if you're using the word play around, but even if you just want to experiment, get a hold of us. Get a hold of Kirk or anyone on the Telos team or other manufacturers, because we're all kind of getting our toes wet on this, and it will be such an innovative time over the next 3 or 4 years. So the more we can do and the more education we can offer to people internally, I think is super helpful. So thank you, and I hope next year I'm actually in Wisconsin.
We certainly hope that too. Thank you for being here from your undisclosed secure location, and
Brooklyn.
We hope to see you live and in person next year. Thank you. Marianne Seidler.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.